The Dakota Access Pipeline is a 1,000-mile conduit which will carry crude oil from North Dakota to southern Illinois. The Standing Rock Sioux, a native group whose source of drinking water will be crossed multiple times by the pipeline, filed a lawsuit to block construction this summer. A spirit ride on the Standing Rock Reservation launched the protests against the pipeline in April. Since then, thousands of allies from other tribes and communities from across the country and internationally have arrived at Cannonball, North Dakota. As the water protectors put their bodies on the line in direct action to pipeline construction, response from private security, Morton County sheriffs, and other law enforcement agencies called in from other counties escalated to the use of dogs, tanks of pepper spray, and rubber bullets. Before many people made it to the polls on Tuesday, allies of the water protectors blocked traffic at a major San Francisco intersection. Banners read, "What they do to the water, they do to us," which is just one of the messages brought back from Standing Rock by allies. Two women who journeyed to Standing Rock join me in studio, Pam Tao Lee and Cece Carpio. Pam visited Standing Rock in late September with a coalition of folks from Chinatown and the Chinese Progressive Association. Cece went to deliver solar panels and to document a press conference with prominent celebrities like Jesse Jackson and Mark Ruffalo. Also joining us is Barbara Mumby, who will be heading out to Standing Rock with her daughter next week. I want to thank you three women for being here tonight. I know you are probably very tired and also feeling a little bit of shock. This is the day after the election and we're reeling from the results. So can we start by just having you introduce yourself and who you are and what your connection is to Standing Rock?
Sure. My name is Pam Tao Lee, and I went to Standing Rock as a delegation from San Francisco Chinatown. Our group was the Chinese Progressive Association. And we had been fundraising for Standing Rock. I have a long relationship with people who are holding the front lines there, and they encouraged us to come up and be a part of protecting the waters.
Hi, thank you, Robin. My name is Barbara Mumby, and my ancestry is Powhatan Confederacy from Virginia and the Concow Maidu here in California. My passion about Standing Rock, similar to Pam, is that I have a lot of relatives who are on the front lines who are fighting the battle. And as a Native person, it's something that affects all of us on multiple levels, as well as the rest of the world and environmental issues.
My name is Cece Carpio, and I headed to Standing Rock in support of Wahala Johns delivering solar panels with Native Renewables, but also in support of the Indigenous Peoples Action Network.
Great. So, Barbara, we're going to start with you, and I would love for you to frame the issue. In the Standing Rock Allies Resource Pack, one of the documents talks about how Native people have been fighting back settler colonialism for generations, and they define settler colonialism as a process of destroying to replace. A colonizing power exports resources and people and seizes and settles on land, exercising violent control over the original inhabitants. So what does Standing Rock and the resistance to the Dakota Access Pipeline mean to you, and what are the issues?
The issues to me is first and foremost start out with environmental genocide that then goes hand in hand with racial genocide in that area. So when you have issues where a pipeline was going through a predominantly white community that stood up and was able to articulate that they didn't want it in their community because of the adverse effects, that then the natural next step was them to move it toward a reservation, which has happened throughout our nation for generations. So it becomes environmental genocide, especially when you hear that the tribe has reached out numerous times to let them know that there were sacred sites in the area that they were planning to run the pipeline, but yet they were ignored. And now that they've uncovered sacred sites, they go back on that and say, "Well, you never told us. We didn't know." So the fact that they are not respecting the status of indigenous nations of being sovereign nations and not consulting with them on that level and disregarding their rights as sovereign nations continues to perpetuate the colonization that has happened for over 500 years here. So that is just the very top layer of what's going on. You've seen it escalate into violence, which it becomes a violation of our own personal rights, as well as spiritual. Freedom of religion is being attacked there, too, within some of these violent repercussions that they're experiencing. So it's multifaceted, multi-layered, and it's not just affecting Native people, it's affecting all of the allies that are there and the surrounding communities of color.
Now, the CPA contingent went out at the end of September. Can you contextualize what was going on at Standing Rock up until that point?
The Army Corps of Engineers and the energy company Dakota Access Pipeline have been working together to put in this pipeline for about a year, but with the tribes pushing back and not being heard, that it got to a point in April where the local community, led by two women, started to camp out on the land as a show of solidarity. There were some movements in April. Slowly, more and more people have come to stay there, and over the summer, numbers have increased. The actual violent clashes with the law enforcement there started in August. So I think at that point really precipitated more and more people coming. There was calls that were put out into the community. So our allies and our activists in the Bay Area and other places heard that call and went out to support. And as they witnessed more and more violence, that it was not just toward Native people, but all of those people of color and white allies standing there, that it has just snowballed. More and more people have come out and seen it and experienced it.
So, Pam, can you talk about what motivated you and CPA to head out to Standing Rock and how this connects to our communities?
I had been in conversation with Tom Goldtooth and Dallas Goldtooth with the Indigenous Environmental Network regarding funds that we're helping to raise for the winterization of the camp. And during the course of the discussions, they said, Pam, you should come up. And I said, well, okay, but I really need to think about it. Because when you get there, people will say, why are you here? And then the second question they'll ask is, where are you from? And then the third is, what can you bring and what do you want to leave with? I wanted to go there to really embrace what the protection of the waters actually means and to also embrace what defending sacred sites meant for the people.
And Cece, you went a month later at the end of October, and so what was it that motivated you to head out there?
It was an invitation with Wahala Johns, the Dene women who had been doing a lot of work with Black Mesa Water Coalition, but now she is spearheading Native Renewables, which is a new organization where they're promoting and implementing renewable energy sources throughout the nation, like made by Indigenous people, distributed by Indigenous people, and this is kind of the mission of what Native Renewables is. And during the time, she needed some support, both logistically and some documentation with her travels, because it was also hosting a press conference that involved some big names such as Mark Ruffalo and Reverend Jesse Jackson.
So when you arrived, Pam, it was September 27th. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to get a sense of scale. So mm-hmm. What did it look like? And yeah, what did you experience? Like, what is your report back?
We arrived during a weekday. So we had understood during the weekend that previous was about 3,000 people were there. When we arrived, it was about 1,000 people, which is still quite dramatic when you drive up to the gate and you see the 200 flags lining a pathway. And look, beyond that, you see all the tents and the teepees. It's just overwhelming You get to the gate, and there's these young men that ask you, who are you, and who are you to see? And you introduce yourself so that they know, you know, basically who's coming onto the property. And then you drive in, and then you just have this sense of people are united together, people looking up and waving at you as you drive by. I must say, I was overwhelmed by what I saw, the camp, the life there, people walking around, looking up at you and the waving as you go by was a welcoming that I was so glad to have made the decision to go.
We're talking with allies to the Water Protectors, Barbara Mumby, Pam Tell-Lee, and Cece Carpio. Pam visited Standing Rock in September, Cece in late October, and Barbara will be heading out there next week. Let's hear more from Pam Tell-Lee.
When we got there, 21 people had been arrested, right? And then the other, so there was a lot of hustle and bustle and discussion about the presence, the military presence, the starting escalation of violence that was going on there, and then possible infiltrators, and also the distortion and the lies of this being a violent place. So the context in which I went there was that there was a beginning of an escalation, and also the drones starting, the constant flying over, and the planes starting to really be quite annoying and a real unpleasant presence. So that's what was going on when I arrived. Uh-huh.
And did any of the people in your contingent decide to be part of direct action?
We were all ready to be part of direct action. But what had happened was there was an action that had happened just prior, and then that arrest kind of caused things to be a little off kilter because the action wasn't quite planned. So the day that we were planning to offer to participate in a direct action, there was none. So we were at the camp and we stayed, and you do what you do. You help out where you help out. So we were in the kitchen. But while we were in the kitchen making muffins with an elder, Wawona, there was somebody came on the microphone and said, hurry, hurry, come to the line. There's arrest happening. People were being beaten. Come now, come now. And it was unusual. And so some people just dropped and went off in their cars. I turned to grandmother Wawina and I asked her, what should we do? And she said, you just stay here. So we stayed and did the muffins. And then what happened was, it was a setup. Mm-hmm. And people were barricaded and enclosed and arrested. And
when they ran out there?
When it was a setup. And so the evening dinner was a discussion of who was that on the microphone? Did you know that person? And so that was what was going on. So I did not participate in it, but I witnessed an act that was very suspicious. Mm-hmm.
So before we hear from you, Cece, I'd like to come back to you, Barbara, and you know, this idea about direct action and really putting your body on the line in order to stop something that you believe in. We have seen the use of violence by the state against these unarmed, peaceful water protectors. And I just would like to hear from you about your thoughts about that strategy, and you're going to be heading out there with your daughter.
I'm getting emotional, sorry. As Pam was saying, I'm not taking it lightly. It took me a long time to make the decision to go. And something that I've discussed with my family, with my daughter, about what we would do and where we would be involved. And my daughter at 14, I was concerned she'd be afraid, but her first response was, I want to be up front. And knowing what that means as a mother is a little frightening for her. But it is also, it's a responsibility as a Native person, it's a responsibility as someone who's concerned about the environment and is concerned about the future of my daughter. And it's a sacrifice I think that I see everybody making every day while they're there. And it's something that, for her sake, whatever that entails, if that happens, or for, you know, because I know how these things work, you may not intend to be in a direct action, and sometimes they find you. So you have to be prepared. Even if you're not planning to be on the front line, you don't know what's going to happen. So I just, the fact that we're going means that there is a potential to be in that place. And we're doing everything we can to prepare for that and to learn and be in a good place if that happens. I feel a responsibility as a parent for my daughter to witness this, for her to understand that she's living in a bubble. And I think what we discovered with the election this year, that bubble is crumbling around us. And it's important for her to see the sacrifices other people are making on her behalf, and for her to be around other Native people and allies, and to see something bigger than herself. And you know, so there's a big sense of responsibility to be there to support and show that there's sacrifices we make for one another, and that's how life should be.
Thank you. So, Cece, you went out about a month after Pam, and as you were saying, celebrities started to head out there, which helped bring this issue to mainstream media. And you left right as the crackdown really escalated. So Pam was saying that there was about 1,000 to 3,000 between the work week and weekend. What was the scale when you arrived in late October?
I've got myself more familiar with just two camps, which is the Ossetti Sun Cohen, the big camp, and then the frontline camp, or treaty camp, they called it, which was established probably about 5-6 days before we got there on treaty land. And it's hard to gauge exactly how many people was in Ossetti during the time, but I know that the weather has changed. It's getting really cold, winter's coming, and there was definitely still very strong presence, but as far as having to count, probably about a couple thousand. Then on the treaty camp itself, there was approximately 200-300 people. And once we got there on our first night, I've started talking to people. There has been already a consistent threat of it being taken out. So every day that they've had it, it was something, it was part of the reality that the people there knew that although this was a treaty land, that there are risks and possibilities that the police can come at any given point in time, and not necessarily knowing when that is.
And that's the north camp that was there because it was closer to where the drilling was happening?
It's directly in the passage or where the pipeline is planned.
Mm-hmm. And if the police were to enter, that goes back to what Barbara was saying about the disrespect of the sovereign nation.
It's Native people being charged with trespassing on their own land. It's just really absurd.
Now, you were there to bring some solar panels or solar equipment, and there was the press conference. Can you tell us more about what you learned about renewable energy and this very viable option?
They were there to exactly, particularly with the technology and the equipment that was brought over by Native Renewables. These are made by Dene scientists being distributed by Native Renewables, which is a bunch of women who started this organization truly believing in like real solutions. And is being given to Standing Rock in sense of, you know, being able to stand with Standing Rock, and that all these things that's been happening is actually not necessary. We have the technology, we have the resource. There are folks and people within the communities already making this. It's already here. We already have that knowledge. Jesse Jackson said it best when he was out there talking on the front line in the little march, and then later on kind of the welcome of ceremony when the solar panel was received. He mentioned something such as love is inexhaustible and so is energy, and that there are alternatives, there are solutions, and we already have it in our hands.
Well, I think that brings me to kind of the final segment is we have a president-elect who doesn't believe in climate change. And so because of the results from the election, I just wonder, as allies and as someone who's going out there, maybe we'll hold yours for the last comment, Barbara, how do the results from last night change your perspective on what needs to be done at Standing Rock?
Well, I wanted to follow up with one of the things that Cece raised is being up there in Bismarck and then going to the camps, all of the signage and messaging there is, this is oil country, drill baby, drill, right? And it's jobs versus environment. Yeah. What I came back with an understanding is that pipeline, the actual utility of that pipeline is about 8 years. And that the fracked oil that is going to go through there is going to be exported, right? And that also permanent jobs is 40. And then in terms of the construction of that, it's about 1,000 temporary jobs. That inherent in those temporary construction jobs is something called man camps. And these man camps are camps that where, in terms of the women in the community, especially indigenous women, sexual violence, trafficking, the introduction of drugs, the toxins associated with the pipeline going into the women's bodies, the whole process is unsustainable. And when I was there, sun is there. The other thing that is there is wind. And wind power. So if there's no sun that day, there's probably going to be wind, right? And that's constant, like the Reverend said. And for me, what I left with is, in terms of this being a important place to prove that we can transfer from extractive society to a just transition to a renewable society. This is a place where we can see it become alive. So under the new administration, where he is a major a shareholder of energy partner transfer, and the whole thing around doubting climate, you follow the money, you figure out why these doubts exist. And we're really now up against somebody who is going to disrespect and allow the agencies or encourage the agencies to dismantle regulations and seize federal land, privatize them, and regardless if there's treaties or not. For me, this is a really frightening perspective, but I feel that what Standing Rock has mobilized around the world is our ability to resist and be resilient.
Great, thank you. Barbara, you're heading out there, and I just wonder if the results from last night change your perspective at all, change your feelings of safety, what you're willing to do, or you know, make you even more steadfast. Mm-hmm.
It's renewed the need to be there. You know, even if Obama was able to stop it in the next 70 days, Trump could still overturn it. I mean, even if we don't win the battle, the war is still there. And that's the most amazing thing about this movement is how people have bonded together and have used social media to notify each other, have used GoFundMe accounts to raise millions of dollars. It shows that people can make a difference. People can work together and really make a concerted effort to make a difference. And now's the time for us to really do that, because we're going to be hit with roadblock after roadblock for at least the next 4 years. If we don't start now and try to get ahead of it in the next 70 days, we're going to have a really steep climb and a hard battle in front of us. I think that's the silver lining out of this. When we have periods of complacency and something like this happens where you feel threatened, that you tend to get re-energized.
Well, we send you off with all of our best wishes. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Apex Express on KPFA. We just heard from Barbara Mumby, Pam Tao-Lee, and Cece Carpio talking about how to stand with Standing Rock and fight back the Dakota Access Pipeline. There are many ways for you to engage with this struggle. As Pam mentioned, it's getting cold out there and the winter gear is needed. Also, word about an anonymous donor contributing funds to bail out the water protectors is simply not true, and those funds are still needed for a legal defense. For those who want to get involved more directly, there's a national day of action on Tuesday, November 15th. The Bay Area Action starts at 6:30 a.m. at San Francisco's Civic Center Plaza. The Sunrise Ceremony and Mass Nonviolent Direct Action is to stand together in the Bay Area in solidarity with the peoples of Standing Rock Sioux Reservation in North Dakota and against the Dakota Access Pipeline. The demands to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers are to, 1, deny permit to bore under the Missouri River, and 2, complete a full environmental impact statement. For more information, visit apexexpress.org.